Blog Talk Radio.
Lock and talk.
Yeah, it feels good, but it feels a lot better that we going 5-0 into the bye week, and now we can rest up and get back to work.
Now, knowing you were going to be without Steph, was that a little more on some of the guys who were going to be playing and then stepping up a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, we know that we have a lot of good receivers on this team and a lot of weapons on the offense side of the ball. We just got to make sure that when the ball's in the air, we got to go get the ball and make our offense move.
Each week that goes by, are you getting more and more comfortable with the practice? It looks like you guys were locked in.
Yeah, I think from the first day he came in, you know, he just the way that he practices and stays after and is locked in, it's pretty easy to get comfortable with a guy like that and a guy that just trusts whoever's in there and trusts whoever's open to go make a play.
Just for us to stop asking you questions about being a still good story, just becomes like a pretty.
I think so. You know, I'm playing football, and that's what I love to do, and I just want to play to the best of my ability.
I don't think it's a good start.
Yeah, I think it just shows how deep we are, really on both sides of the ball. And it's a testament to the GM and head coach and all the coaches of preparing guys and, you know, getting a lot of really good football players in here.
Are you pretty sure you're going to start for several days or are you going to go off the
game? No, you know, you got to practice like you're going to play. It didn't matter. When I was, you know, on practice squad, I was practicing like I was going to play. So just got to prepare like you're going to start and whatever happens, happens.
Thanks. And that was the voice of Minnesota Vikings wide receiver Adam Thielen. Yes, this is your this is host Barry Bonds, and welcome to Locker Talk. Thank you guys for tuning in again this week as we preview and highlight the players that went through the NFL regional combines to get to the NFL. The NFL combine or the workouts they have every year. The NFL football operations put together from the months of February through March, not counting the scouting combine that's televised on television and highly publicized, but the NFL regional combines are for the guys that went to smaller schools, guys that were looked over, guys that was, you know, pretty much in big-time programs as well, but for some reason due to injuries or the play, the scheme of the team had changed because of new coaches or whatever the case may be, that were not invited to the scouting combine, get an opportunity to get in front of the same scouts, get in front of NFL GMs and coaches alike to get noticed to actually execute their dream of getting to the NFL. Adam Thielen is one of the many players that was able to exercise that stage, and now he's starting to really blossom in the Minnesota Vikings offense air attack they have there. I'm your host, Barry Bonds, founder and CEO of Locker Report.com. Thanks again for tuning in. And we're going to play some catch-up work, talk about pretty much what happened so far during the first quarter of the NFL and going to week five of the NFL regarding the players from the NFL Regional Combine. As these guys continue to make waves into their positions on their teams and clearly not just satisfied with getting to the NFL, which is half the battle. Now, since they're in the NFL, their goal is to actually make a living in the NFL, be relevant for their team, so they can continue on to become not just solid individuals or players for their teams, but to be a benefit for their families, to help set things up for their children's children, and to live a comfortable life doing something they love to do with more opportunities to open up after their careers are over. So that's what we're here talking about again today. And the first half of this year, the NFL Regional Combine players, a lot of the veteran players that have been through the stage have been doing very well. We'll go through pretty much all those players and start to talk about what the rookies from the NFL Regional Combine, the guys that came through the workouts through 2016. There are many players from 2016 that's on squads. You have about 38 to be exact. That's a member of an NFL team. But not too many of them are activated. Many of them are still on practice squads. But as this season progresses and as injuries continue to plague teams, because it's the nature of the game, it's going to happen. No one can stop it, not even what NFL operations try to put in place to help stop injuries is something that's going to happen. Fortunately, they have enough individuals that can step in and carry that next man up attitude to help support their teams on that goal to win a Super Bowl. And Adam Thielen is one of those guys that's taking advantage. Not so much this year. I would say with Adam himself, he really worked his way up into the ranks with the Minnesota Vikings. He joined the team in 2013, was a member of that practice squad going towards 2014. He was on the active roster. Pretty much a special teams juggernaut, waiting for that moment to come, waiting for that moment to come. And the recording that you had from the beginning of the show was actually his press conference. Actually, it was an interview, locker room interview, after week five, after his big game, by courtesy of Vikings.com, as they conduct that interview in the locker room. But going to 2014, he was really on special teams. He scored twice that year on a block punt, and he also caught a touchdown pass towards the end of the season. The Vikings really wasn't going nowhere at that time, so he took advantage of the opportunities, and he also had another situation where he was able to get another block against the Carolina Panthers that same year. So that year was a big year for him. But going into 2015, I talked to him myself and really got a true essence of where he was standing and how he said running routes was something that he always did. He concentrated on doing that. Him catching the ball was something that he knew that he was able to do, but he understood that on the NFL level, in order to really take advantage of having the ball come to you to catch, you had to get your routes down. You had to get your route running down. You knew you had to be persistent in his route timing, making sure that he's in the right place at the right time. And the catching part is something that he's been doing all his life, so that's almost second nature. But getting stronger, getting faster, working with the size that he has, and making sure that he was disciplined and run those routes, he'll make sure that he'll have his day ready for him to be prepared when he knew that he was just persistent with his preparation and with patience. And with patience, going to 2015, he was acclimated into the Vikings' passing attack. He wasn't thrown to as much. As a matter of fact, for the entire season last year, he was only targeted 18 times. Fast forward to this year, 2016, had two starts already. Last year, he had two starts for the entire season. He started two games, and with the injury bug, Stephon Diggs, who was a high-profile athlete, high-profile wide receiver in the league, banged up. So Adam Thielen pretty much was already in the fold with the wide receivers this year. And one of the things that Adam brings to the table, not just his catching ability, not just his route running ability, which he's very disciplined at, but he's very physical and he loved the block. There were a lot of occasions this season during the course of the game. Adam was relied on between the 20s. He caught big passes in the middle of the field. So he set up a lot of go-ahead touchdowns for the Vikings during the course of this whole season. And a lot of those times was if he wasn't making a big play on a big catch, he was clearing out some room, blocking down the field, making it easy for his teammates like Kyle Rudolph to get passes, to get to the end zone, helping Stephon Diggs get, you know, to the end zone, doing everything he's supposed to do because he's a team-first guy. That is his complete attitude and his whole entire approach as with his young NFL career. So in week five, he was in the starting lineup again. Stephon Diggs was not there. Thielen and Sam Bradford is starting to develop some chemistry, which was something that I noticed around week three, that I noticed that Bradford tried to go to Adam a little more, a little often. As a third wide receiver, Adam always pretty much was right there as a security blanket for Bradford. And so on week five, knowing that Diggs was not going to play, I know going into that game that Thielen probably would be talking a lot more, and he was. And he had caught seven passes, which he led his team, and had more receiving yards at 127, leading his team as well. He caught an early touchdown, first time this season, getting across the goal line. It won't be the last time because he put himself in that situation to be targeted for Bradford, for head coach Mike Zimmer to say, we can trust this guy to come through for us. Right now the Vikings are 5-0. He has his hand end that success early on this season. They go on to a bye, and we look forward to Vikings coming out fresh, a little healthier, a little stronger. But the only thing that's going to be a little different is that instead of Dylan being the last option, he's really going to be I promise you, he will be on the radar for a first option and going to him more purposely instead of trying to be in a bailout situation. So that's the part that I'm looking forward to. Really happy for Adam. You know, I've been waiting for to see number 19 get across the scoreboard, get across the goal line with the ball in his hand and for him to be celebrated by his teams. Again, this is your host, Barry Barnes. You're listening to Locker Talk, founder, CEO of Locker-Report.com, talking about the NFL Regional Combine players and how their performance so far this season, and especially in the first quarter of the NFL. Now, when we talk about veteran players, I know we talked about Adam Dinlan, but I would be remiss not to talk about Seth Roberts. Seth Roberts, the third wide receiver for the Oakland Raiders. He scored three times this year, very reliable. Instead of being really a threat between the 20s, Robert is really, really, Seth is really good in the red zone situation. He already caught, you know, pretty much nearly a game winner setting things up for the New Orleans Saints back in week four that Michael Crabtree was able to get that two-point conversion. Got a lot of, he garnered a lot of press off catching that two-point conversion. But Seth Roberts is the one that set up that pass, set up that touchdown where they were able to be in a situation for Jack Del Rio to make that gutsy call early in the season. Seth Roberts was caught the pass nearly the 10-yard line, bounced off four defenders to get into the NFL. Seth has a way to use his leverage, to use his leaping ability on certain on plays. You know, he got to go up high. But the best part about his game with his thin frame, is he know how to protect himself and actually get inside to make those tough catches and get out to make plays happen. You know, I'm really looking forward for him to even score more this season. You know, teams are starting to be aware of number 10 for the Oakland Raiders, and they have to be because he's a real big part of that passing core, a very important piece for Derek Carr to actually look for it in his game to help make the Oakland Raiders offense a little more deadly. Right now they're sitting lovely at the number 2 ranked offense in the league, and Seth Roberts has his hand, you know, completely set up with that. When you look at, you know, as far as with offensive linemen, you have your Denzel Good, who's doing very well for the Indianapolis Colts. They're still having a hard time of trying to figure out on their offensive line how they're going to protect Andrew Luck. That's their biggest key. But they're starting to get better. Andrew Luck took a beating, about 5 or 6 sacks in week 5 against the Chicago Bears. But when it's time to actually make a play happen, you know, Denzel Good is pretty much there to help give him that protection. Now, something that they are still working on collectively as an offensive line, but to know that Mars Hill's own, Denzel Good is actually in the midst of that, trying to improve that offensive line to help keep Andrew Luck untouched and make sure that he continues to stay healthy to help put that team in a situation where they could ultimately win the division. We know they have an uphill battle being down by one game, basically, in the division, knowing that, you know, the Houston may have their ups and downs for some injuries they have, some key injuries they have on the defense side of the ball, knowing that the next 2 weeks they have to play divisional opponents, and Houston is one of those teams. You know, the Texans is one of those teams that actually improve their running attack behind Marco Murray. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Colts can actually sustain the next 2 games. That's away, divisional games, and knowing that Denzel Good is going to be in the middle of trying to keep Andrew Luck upright so that he can be able to do his job to help lead his team. And then Alarendo, winner of waiver, left tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's having a solid season this year. You know, actually inked into the starting lineup this season, protecting Big Ben Roethlisberger's backside, his blind side. Very physical presence. Started off really strong. They had their ups and downs against the Philadelphia Eagles, but they rectified that playing against the Chiefs, and they had played pretty – they definitely performed very well this past Sunday in Week 5 against the Jets. as Big Ben rarely was touched in that game, and knowing that Villanueva is that one that's actually keeping Big Ben's back, you know, protected, knowing that another regional combine player who actually was in the Army Ranger, and his story is well documented throughout, you know, with the NFL, especially, you know, knowing that this is with the protest that's going on with 49ers quarterback, Kaepernick, Colin Kaepernick, knowing that how Villanueva's feelings towards that and how his team have his support and everything. You know, that whole story is another story for another time, for another day. But just recognizing his play for the Pittsburgh Steelers is very important. And also as teammates, Robbie Golden, who's a little banged up, started off pretty good, you know, started off pretty strong. But right now, Jordan Dangerfield is actually the man that's stepping up a little bit more for the Pittsburgh Steelers in that secondary as a defensive back. He's been a part of the Steelers unit for the last couple of years on that practice squad. This year is the year that he's actually really been a part of that secondary, helping to improve them overall. Right now, the Steelers are one of the hottest teams in the league, primarily a lot to do with their offense, but their defense is starting to come around. The defense is not hurting them, not putting them in situations where the offense has to continuously bail them out. It's not one of those situations. It's definitely a collective unit that they have there. This year, Dangerfield has 11 tackles. So he's very, you know, he's actually improved and actually really good in open field tackles, which is something that you have to do when you're out there in the island as a safety, you know, to use the last line of defense. And so far, he's holding his own, you know, out there with that. He did get scored on by Brandon Marshall over the weekend, but Brandon Marshall scores over a lot of, you know, safeties, big-time players as well. And knowing that Jordan is starting to get baptized by fire, I really believe that as the season progressed and he continued to stay healthy and continue to play well, a lot of things that's happening to him, being considered a mismatch with opposing receivers, that he'll change that and become more of a threat on the defense side of the ball. Now, when you look on the D side of the ball, one person who's not really, you know, who's pretty more, is a little bit more seasoned and know how to handle himself out there in the field is Kamil Ishmael, who's the safety for the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta Falcons started off kind of rough in the beginning part of the season, but lately they're one of the hottest teams in the league. Their front seven still struggle to get to the quarterback, still struggle to make stops up front, and have to rely on that secondary to help clean up some work. But when Keanu Neal, the rookie that was drafted this year, when he was out for the first 3 to 4 games, Ishmael was in the lineup. He was a starter. And Ishmael really really found himself all over the field, you know, trying to cover deep. Then towards the return of Neal, that's when we started to see Ishmael playing the position at a strong safety, which is his strength. He's big enough, he's strong enough, he's physical enough to be able to play up front and help support the run. And that's one of the biggest, you know, I would say, changes to the Atlanta Falcons so far this young season, because the Atlanta Falcons really have their issues with trying to make stops. Not so much of an issue for all these guys, you know, to score. That never necessarily wasn't the problem. They started to find ways. They're starting to be more balanced with their attack, with a combination of running the ball and taking their shots down the field. But the part they really had to really step up was their defense. And their secondary really was allotted to make the big stops when they could not get pressure. So the secondary had a lot of pressure on them pretty much for the last couple of years, and this year was no different. But one of the things that's a little different this year is that knowing that Neal is back, Ishmael can actually play up on the line a little more this year. And what's been going on the last couple of weeks with Atlanta Falcons, that they are making those stops. They are improving their, you know, their run defense. Their pass defense is getting a lot better now because the secondary don't necessarily have to worry about trying to make the stops up front. Now they can actually concentrate and be a secondary. And a real big portion of that does come from Ishmael, because now he's playing like a linebacker. They're stuffing the run a lot better. They're starting to have more control. They're starting to get teams off the field with 3 and outs so their offense can get out there and put work in which is something that had actually happened within a 2 weeks period of time, to know that there's an NFL regional combine player that's really a part of that, making that change, that really says a lot about him as a player, how the Atlanta Falcons organization, how much they believe in him, and also to show the value of that platform, knowing that you have another young man who was, you know, pretty much overlooked coming out of Central Florida, get his shot to get into the NFL, and now he's making it happen, which he has been for the last couple of years, but this year is a little different because he's starting to get a little bit more credit for the team's success. Right now he's at 40 tackles on the season, and I believe this young man is going to only get better and better. And I know contract time is coming up, and I'm quite sure that his date will come when he can actually sign a long-term deal, and then he'll be able to live out his dream continuously with financial security, knowing that his family is stable, so that he can actually go out and play even better, knowing that that stressful situation is no longer there. Again, this is your host, Barry Barnes. Thank you for listening to Locker Talk this morning. I know you guys are really enjoying this NFL talk, something that's a little different, something that you don't really see on television or hear about. You know, I like to label this show as the NFL within the NFL, because there are players out there in situations that no one knows about, creating a new or another stream of NFL fans and fanatics to get behind the underdog. And that's what the NFL Regional Combine is all about. Now, when we take into account, as far as with the other players in the league, you have with Quentin Dunbar, who was a converted wide receiver for the Washington Redskins, now is a cornerback for the Washington Redskins, playing very well. He had a critical interception against the New York Giants a couple of weeks ago in week three, when they went to New York, had a good battle up there. Everyone was looking at the Josh Newman, Odell Beckham show, but the person that actually stole the show towards the end was Quentin Dunbar, as he stepped in front of the tight end Tyus when Eli Manning was actually driving down the field to put some more points on the board to actually put pressure on the Redskins to try to win the game, knowing that the Redskins were looking for their first win of the season, knowing that the Giants were trying to extend their season at 3-0, but Quentin Dunbar stepped in front of the pass, made a left-handed, one-handed interception that actually turned the tide in that game. And so far this season, because ever since that win the Redskins had, they won their last three, including the one they had in M&T Bank against the Baltimore Ravens, and the Giants themselves had lost their last three games. So that was a big play there. Quentin Dunbar was a part of that. Really good to see that he's really starting to own that position, starting to, you know, get keyed into his particular craft as a defensive back, and seeing that situation actually start to work out for the Washington Redskins. Now I'm going to turn our attention a little bit to some of the 2016 players. Like I said, some of the rookies that's from the regional combine are not getting too much playing time. They're getting spurts there. You have Trevor Davis, and also with Mike Thomas. Trevor Davis with the Green Bay Packers, who was actually drafted in the fifth round by the Green Bay Packers. The sixth round of Green Bay Packers. And you have Mike Jones, who was drafted by the Los Angeles Rams. Both those guys pretty much receiving more detail in the special teams return game, you know, as punt return specialists or kickoff specialists. That's where they're getting most of their playing time there. When you look at Allen Cross, who was a converted tight end from Memphis, going to the NFL now, he holds the records for touchdowns by a tight end with 11 in his school's history. So he's in their record books for having the most touchdowns as a tight end. But getting to the NFL, knowing he only stands about 6'1", that height disadvantage would not translate to NFL success. But as he told me when he was doing at his workouts early this year, that his agent was telling him the best day for him is to convert over to a fullback. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is the team that picked him up as a fullback, made the active roster. He's on that team this year. And he's not, although he has great hands, he possesses great hands, he's mainly out there for blocking detail. It's almost like with a player with the Panthers, with Scott Samerson, who's a tight end, number 80, who came through the same platform 2013 with Seth Roberts when he, too, was a member of the Oakland Raiders. Now he's, you know, with the Carolina Panthers. And Scott is mainly, primarily out there to block, you know, to help with the offensive line issue. So he hasn't been targeted yet. Cross, fullback, same deal. He was targeted early this season, but the ball came right off his fingertips and couldn't necessarily bring it in. You know, so he did have one target, but for the most part, he's out there blocking, you know, laying wood out there on the field. And this past Monday night, the pass, the 26-yard touchdown pass from Jameson to Mike Evans, if it wasn't for Allen Cross laying out Kirk Coleman, the safety for the Panthers, when Jameson dropped back, didn't roll to his left, but he was looking to his left, had his eyes on Evans the whole time. Here come Coleman coming off the edge, shooting a dart right towards Winston. But Cross stepped right in. And when I tell you that he laid him out, he laid him out. And all of a sudden, what looked like there was pressure on the quarterback was pretty much just a pitch and catch, as Winston actually had all day to throw an easy touchdown strike to Mike Evans. And that play tied the game up, which set them up ultimately to kick the game-winning field goal. But that play right there was the play that stood out for the Bucs. But if it wasn't for that block from Cross, it probably would never have came into fruition. So congratulations to, you know, Allen Cross for being a big part of that win Monday night for the Bucs against the Panthers. Now, the brightest star right now for the 2016 class is Javaris Brown, linebacker for the San Diego Chargers. Now, Monta Teo, their linebacker, in week two, week three, against the Indianapolis Colts, he went down to an Achilles injury. And so Brown was acclimated into the lineup, had his first start in week four for the Chargers. And I will tell you that this young man from Akron, who was actually drafted as well by the Chargers, so after his solid workout in Houston for the NFL Regional Combine, which he really put on a solid show, he was actually the fastest linebacker there that day for those workouts. And so that was one of the first things that actually had stood out with him, with his speed and also his quickness and how disciplined he is out there on the field. He's very aggressive, very fast. He played with a lot of emotion. And what he was able to showcase early on this season is his solid tackling ability. Now, that's something you don't necessarily see at the regional combine because there's no tackling going on there. But you look back at his career at Akron, he was always all over the place, very physical. He was the leader of their defense. And now it's translating over to the NFL, knowing that Monta Teo is out for the rest of the season. It created an opportunity for Brown. And like I said at the beginning of the show, that's what the NFL is all about. Injuries happen. You can't stop it. So what Brown had did, he's actually inside the unit with that defense. He had 28 tackles on the season, 2 sacks, a forced fumble, and 5 pass defense. So just letting you know that this young man is ready to play. He's about to become a star in this league, and we all pulling for him. Right now, we're about to wrap up everything with Locker Talk. Thank you for listening. Next week, we'll talk about what happened in Week 6 and get a little bit more detail on players and their actions from Week 6. Some of them are on buys, like Adam Thielen, who had the interview earlier in this show. He's going to be on a bye, but this week, somebody else is going to step up. We have some more names and some guys to talk about with this platform from the NFL Regional Combine. Thanks for tuning in. You can shoot me a question for next week, or you can always reach me at BarryBonds@locker-report.com or on Twitter at the company page at locker_report or my personal handle at 2B Sports on Twitter, or just hit us with a message on Facebook at lockreport.com. Thank you for listening. Look forward to talking to you guys next week. Everyone, stay blessed.
Locker Talk.